Kim Lytle.
Don Duganas.
Brian Rogan.
Joel Rosenberg.
Are we the first three?
It seems it. Actually, someone in the background.
Yeah, Joel Rosenberg. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Joel. Hi, Kim. Hi, Don.
Hi.
And there were four.
There you go.
So it's new.
How about those standards?
Yeah, it was something. I've not had much time to actually look at them myself.
You know, I haven't either, and I was hoping I'd get a nice over, a nice broad view today from my colleagues, and then I thought I might be able to go from there.
Yeah, I think and Mark and I just swapped a little email, and I am suggesting that today we think about a plan for putting the feedback together rather than trying to actually get feedback right now, because I'm assuming that I am not alone and not really having read them.
Yeah, and I think it's...
Hi, this is Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
I think it's going to take a while to really absorb them.
Yeah.
So the first time you look at them, you might say, oh, fabulous, or whatever. But then the next time, mm-hmm. it's like, now, wait a minute.
Yeah,
and the next
yeah.
time might be, now, wait a minute. So
yep.
I think it does.
I'm a little concerned that there's such a short time period.
Oh, very short.
Yep.
Make these
yep.
comments.
Yeah, though, I'm on the Earth and Space Science design team, but even I am unclear on what the nature of the process is. We are going to be having actually our first face-to-face meeting at about the date that the feedback's due.
So are you on the design team for the NRC report or for the Earth and Space Science Literacies?
I am not on the NRC committee. I am on the Earth and Space Science Design Team, which the committee oversees.
Oh, I see.
So I am.
And what is the role of the design team?
We drafted a set of big ideas and supporting materials that sort of were learning progression frameworks-ish or something like that, by grade band and things like that I don't think are actually in the document anywhere. though I haven't
but
really...
But what did you create that separate from the benchmarks?
I guess maybe what we created are labeled as benchmarks, and it's been a busy couple of days, and I haven't really cranked through here. I've done some searching for stuff, but we did some of the grade bands. We drafted the grade band stuff that you can see on pages 7-whatever.
Why don't we wait until we get everybody on the phone, and then maybe
yeah.
you can give us an overview, because that would be helpful. Who else is on? We have Don on the phone, and who else is on the phone?
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Karen Holweg.
Karen.
Kim Lytle.
Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Karen, did you just try to call me?
I did, but it's only because I'm in a house that's getting an energy retrofit, and I can't figure out what plugs to plug in or what numbers to dial or anything.
Because if the phone rang
incapacitated.
The phone rang 1 minute before the call, and it was your name, and I'm going, okay.
No, it's not me. I mean, ignore it.
Okay.
Scott,
Don, Rogan. Mark, Karen, and this is Scott, okay?
Yeah, Brian Rogan.
Hi, Brian.
Joel Rosenberg. Joel.
Hello, Phil. Okay, so before we get into the discussion about that we've already kind of started, are there any announcements of ongoing activities and things that people would like to make everybody aware of? But one thing I will let you know, because I had a conversation with Frank Niepold this morning, and he said that the America Climate Choices fourth panel report on informing the public and decision makers is coming out tomorrow. And so just wanted everybody to be aware of that, and I think maybe we will possibly either have Tony Lazarowicz or Dan Barstow or both, who were on that panel, maybe give us a briefing of what the report is about in possibly the coming weeks or so.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Frank also suggested that we might get somebody from the NRC committee to give us an overview of this document also. Possibly. That would be more urgent to do by next week so that we can actually have that context for responding.
Right.
Okay, there are any other... Go ahead, Mark.
Brett Moulding, who was on the panel, and he's actually on our proposal to the for the Climate Change Education Partnership.
Okay. Where is he from?
He's the former state science supervisor from Utah.
Okay.
I check with him, but what I'm not clear about is how much they want to directly engage people. You know, and Don, maybe you have some insight into this, because...
Well, my sense is that they are... They would like to get as much feedback as they can manage, but they can't manage all that. Something like that. And, you know, with this two-week or three-week turnaround, two-week, more like...
In the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the middle of summer, and it seems like designed to get small amounts of input.
Yeah, and, you know, they're all very busy folks and so forth. I don't... But they also keep on pushing deadlines later, so they may recognize again that they put too short a deadline.
There was someone that Frank had suggested that we have talk. Martin Scorsese.
He's the head of the board of science education.
Okay. Well, I didn't know who he was. It was just Frank had suggested that he might be a person to invite to facilitate one of our conversations. Okay, so...
If we're planning to do that next week, then we need to either contact Brett or...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we will... Frank was going to send me that contact information, so we can... go after that right away. I think that that's probably worth trying. I mean, we might not get them, but then, again, we might.
All right, so why don't I go ahead and ask Brett if he'd be willing to...
All right, go ahead. Okay, so Don, why don't you go ahead and sort of describe what you know about the process and your design team's role in it.
Well, our design team's role is mostly creating the draft that we passed along to the committee of the core ideas for Earth and Space Science, which starts on page 7-22. Which is page 143 in the PDF, if you've got that handy. So most of what we did was put that stuff together, and I've looked at it. Something got some construction going on there.
Probably Garrett.
I've only looked at it enough to know that they have made various levels of change in what we passed off to them. They are very much looking for feedback, I think, but again, as Tamara noted, that if they're really looking for feedback, they wouldn't have it 2 weeks from the end of the last 2 weeks of July in this tight time frame. When we passed off our draft, which was the last I, you know, saw of our draft, was I think mid or late May, and the intention at that point was to have this document that was released yesterday, released about June, around my birthday, around June 17th. And so, you know, they push back deadlines, and the whole process has been...
So was there a design team for each of the different sections?
Yeah, there. If you look on the homepage of where you download that stuff, let me get there. There's a link. There's a link to show who's on the big committee and who's on each design team. And there were design teams for life science, design team for life science, a design team for physical science, a design team for science, technology, and society, or that's not quite the right label, science and engineering, something like that, and the engineered world, something like that, and the Earth and Space Science Design Team.
And was your... Go ahead.
The Earth and Space Science Design Team was headed up by Michael Wysesh, included me, Dennis Schatz, Eric Pyle, and who am I forgetting, Scott Linneman.
And did you use how did you put this together? Did you use the literacy documents and the work that you've done integrating them, or?
Yes, we used the literacy documents to some degree. We were more dependent on the atlases for science literacy than the literacy, the AAAS
benchmarks. Okay.
Yeah. And people on the design team pulled from where they thought to pull from. We were each tasked with leading on one idea and being second on another idea, and all reading each other's frameworks, I guess is a reasonable label for them. And then we never met as a full group face-to-face. We had a number of conference calls and swapped a whole lot of email. About three of us, I guess, met at NSTA. And we are all going to meet face-to-face for the first time at the Cosmos in the Classroom meeting in Boulder in the beginning of July, or beginning of August.
Is that a formal meeting for you, or is that just a happenstance?
It is. Well,
and what are you going to be doing then?
We don't know.
Okay.
We're going to be trying to figure out. I think we'll have some of the feedback then, and hopefully have some guidance. And it's honestly been kind of a weird and somewhat sometimes frustrating experience, because I feel like a lot of the time we don't know what it is that is exactly expected of us. And, you know, initially we were tasked with developing learning progressions for our core ideas, and then it was realized that that was an absurd thing to try and do in the time frame. And then it was sort of spoken of as developing frameworks for learning progressions, and then it was even pulled back from that to some degree. I think we're a good, interesting group of folks who put together some interesting materials, but I think a lot of us felt much of the time we didn't know exactly where we were headed, and we created something that's interesting. It's like politics, and you don't want to watch the sausage grinding and whatever. But that's the inarticulate description of what we did. I could probably gussy it up if I had a little time to think about it, put a veneer on it.
And you indicated in your email that there's going to be an online structure for providing comments?
Yeah, and I actually just got a note back from Tom Keller, who says, let's see what he says, the online questionnaire should be posted today or tomorrow.
Okay. One of the things, I'm not sure everybody knows, but there many of you do, at the NSF... Climate Change Education PI meeting, we broke into panels, and I was I chaired the K-12 panel, in which one of the members of this committee, actually is probably from the NRC part of this committee, talked about these coming out, he had said at the time they would come out in June, and that feedback from a group rather than from individuals would carry more weight. And we kind of decided as a group then that we would like to do that, and the way we tried to facilitate that was to invite all of those people to join the Climate Literacy Network so that we could do it through this venue. So might try sending that email. Once we get a handle on how we might handle this, I might try sending that email out again to the people that were at that meeting and see if anybody... So then we can sort of have this conversation and get a sense of how we might want to respond in a coherent way. Do you think it's... How do you, I don't know. I know that you don't have a whole lot of information about how we might do this, but do we just...
Well, I
do you think
it
would be good... All right, go ahead. I just want... Let me ask the one question, and then you can go from there. And that is... Do you think we should focus on the Earth and space science, or do you think that it would behoove us to address the entire framework?
I think that focusing on the Earth and space science design, or the Earth and space science frameworks, and where climate comes up in other places makes the most sense.
Okay.
And I forgot what I was just going to say. Done. Yep.
This is Karen. I've just scrolled down to the next, to two sections beyond, which is technology and the nature of science, or whatever that's called.
So
and
what page are you looking at?
Well, I've been scrolling too much to be able to tell you that. But there are a couple of core ideas in that section that have to do with technology and environment, interactions of technology and environment, and the economics of that, that I think might be relevant as well.
Yeah, so I think what Don is saying is that we're going to have to look through all the sections and find the relevant pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we want to focus our comments on the stuff that, you know, most directly addresses climate literacy, and the lion's share of that is going to be in the Earth and space science, but there's no doubt stuff in the both the technology, well, there's going to be stuff in every section, but I think there will be there will be stuff worth digging into a little bit in the technology section and in the life science section, I suspect. I have not, like I said, you know, I saw drafts of every core area months ago that I know have been changed in what's in here, so I don't know exactly what all is in different places, but I think probably, you know, if you search through the document for carbon and climate and other keywords that are relevant to climate, we'll
I think that there might even be places in the physical science section also that might be relevant.
Absolutely. I think the biggest, the lion's share goes with Earth and space science, and then there will be stuff scattered in other places, with the second and third being the technology and the life science, and then there should certainly be some in the physical science, because it's, you know, climate dynamics follow the laws of chemistry and physics. So,
John, can I ask a broader question, if you don't mind?
Sure.
What I'm not clear about is why this exercise was undertaken, especially when you drew on existing materials that have been around for almost 20 years. Did you ever discern why we were doing this exercise?
Yeah.
I look at this, not dissimilar to all the literacy frameworks we dealt with, and even those ones that we haven't looked at. We know that similar things exist, certainly in STEM standards.
Well, I think there are issues with the document in front of us that could be a lot better, but I also think that this is a framework of something that stands a very good chance of being a lot better than the existing National Science Education Standard and other similar documents, primarily because
kind of
it does draw a focus on core ideas.
Let Don finish his statement.
No,
Scott, so, then you can ask your question. So go ahead, Don.
So
say that last part again.
Yeah, so I think that the key motivator was that the national standards have too much stuff in it without an organizational framework that makes it that gives it a good chance of having lots of people understand all the stuff that's in there. So what this new approach offers is within each of the four core disciplines they identified is, I think in each area, it's four key ideas. That's what we were shooting for. And that gives you a conceptual framework that's a lot more manageable than what's in any of the documents that are out there now that are widely used. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important. And it's also been what the NSES was published in 94, is that right?
96.
So they're 14 years old now, so one would hope that our understanding of building understanding has moved forward in that time and we can update them in ways that are helpful to making science education more effective. Mm-hmm. So that was maybe more articulate than my description of the process. I hope. So did you have
one of the big flaws with the original science standards was that they totally passed on dealing with human impacts on climate.
That's
saying
true too.
Basically said we don't have enough information.
Right, which of course wasn't really true. But
right. they did the same on evolution, actually.
Oh, that's not true. I disagree. But let's not go there.
This is Scott again. The question what I was wondering is whether part of the motivation for this particular exercise is in some ways political. It's a little bit of, it's not invented here. It's something new. It's a way of jump-starting a process of really looking more seriously at science education. View of what folks have just been talking about in sort of a simplified, much more understandable framework. It may be just a bit of both, is my guess.
Yeah, well, politics is always part of anything that involves scads of people like this does and impacts every school child in America. That means it's political as well as whatever else it is.
Yeah. If I can have a follow-up, what's your sense of where this is going? Does it have then some political wind beneath its sails, and that this actually may lead to something? Is there a sense of there being some will to push this along and where?
Yeah, there is. It's and there are weird political considerations that I'm never good at hiding what I think when I talk about it. But we've been told to not refer to this as the new National Science Education Standards.
Okay.
But I think very nearly everyone's expectation, or at least aspiration, who's involved in the project, is that's where it's going.
This is called a framework now, correct?
This is a framework. Yeah, this is a framework that should serve as the frame for developing new documents. And I've got, and I sent this to Mark too. And I was asked not to send it to the world because I think they just don't want thousands of groups giving them feedback. They want targeted groups. But I think we're a group that counts enough that I sent it to Mark. And it's a structured feedback protocol for groups like us and the National Earth Science Teachers Association. I know is doing this too, and a whole bunch.
I know that Frank Davis, the president of TURC, was invited to the NSTAED on July 28th, to address this exactly.
Yeah, and there's a protocol that 15-page, 13-page document that
can you send that to me
how
also?
To structure those. Yeah, I'll send it to you, but I won't send it to the world because I was
okay. No, I understand. We won't post it.
Okay, that's good. So it lays out sort of a meeting structure on how to host a 3 or 4 hour meeting to gather feedback, and have some specific questions that I think I assume are going to match up with what the online thing is going to be asking for from individuals. And it also, I think, importantly, has a glossary that I think could be shared with everybody. I think I'll make the executive decision that the glossary can, and I'll send that along to everybody to help people have a common vocabulary when you talk about what's in the document. And it's just got, I don't know, 10 or 15, probably 15 different things like learning progressions or learning or performance standards, curriculum framework, stuff like that. And it's got a set of questions that, you know, I think we can share the questions, and I could rattle those off if folks would like me to, although that would probably be take a little bit longer than might make sense. I don't know. There are 7 questions with 2 or 3 sub-questions on most of them.
Why don't you just read the main highlighted, the top-level questions, just so we can get a sense.
Okay. They're labeled rather than headed by a question. Question number 1 is vision for science education, then it's got a paragraph-length question. Question number 2 is core disciplinary ideas. And gives the criteria used to select those, which I will read that because I think that's relevant. There are 4 criteria used to select the core ideas. The first is have a broad importance across multiple science and or engineering disciplines and or is a key organizing concept of a single discipline. The second is to provide a key tool for understanding or investigating more complex ideas and solving problems. The third is the ideas are relevant to societal needs in children's lives. And the fourth is they are teachable and learnable over multiple grades at increasing levels of sophistication and depth within the typical resource constraints of public schools. And then the question that goes with core disciplinary ideas is, did we get the right ones? Are we missing any? Then the next question, 3, is dealing with cross-cutting elements. Question 4 is dealing with practices of science. Question 5 is prototype learning progressions. Question 6 is general feedback, and question 7 is additional comments. So that's okay. That's the overview. And I think it seems to me we could share those with the group. You know, again, I think the reason that Tom Keller, who's coordinating this, doesn't want the protocol broadly shared is that he's fearful that he'd get stuff from 1,000 groups, and he doesn't want stuff from 1,000 groups.
Right. Well, so the things that you feel that we can share broadly, if you want to send those to me separately and that I can put on the Climate Literacy Network site.
Okay.
So that everybody can see them.
I can send the stuff I think I can send to everybody. And then you can put them up on
site. Yeah, okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Could I go back to part of the previous question, which is how does this framework connect to the ultimate national science education standards? And my understanding is that the framework work that's being funded by the Carnegie Foundation, which we're looking at a draft of now, is supposed to be done in 2011, and then it will be forwarded to Steve Pruitt, who has been selected to fill the position in ACHIEVE, where the national science standards will be promulgated from 2011 to 12 or so, however long it takes. Is that still the plan?
That is still the general plan, yes.
Okay.
Can you remind me what ACHIEVE is?
Oh, it's a huge national organization that's been involved in education reform for decades and is the group that has created the language arts and mathematics national standards that have been coming out over the last year or two.
I believe it's the spawn of a national governor's conference a couple of decades ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
And so they, and what's the time frame for them developing this new version of the national standards?
Another year or two after the framework is completed.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that we on the Earth and Space Science design team and the other design teams will likely have the opportunity or something to be in, to be continually involved in the process as that goes forward. But
that, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And the importance of all that politically, to get back to the politics question, is just like the National Language Arts and Mathematics Standards that have come out in the last year are being used to direct what's happening in language arts and mathematics education, so will the national standards move forward, as Don has said, the next round of advancement for national science education efforts. And by their very nature, state standards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a few weeks. I think probably in the next week, people should just take their time and sort of go over it on their own. And once we see what this protocol looks like, we'll talk to Don further and try to figure out the best way of going about addressing this as a group rather than individually.
Yeah,
I try to pull things together, but it would be better to talk that through with the whole group, because
right.
It's a little daunting right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we one of the things that obviously needs to be done, and it could be that maybe multiple of us as we go through it, to highlight those pieces that are outside the Earth and Space Science section that are relevant, so that when we do, my guess is that since it seems to me that given the short time frame, doing something asynchronously is not going to be effective because we just don't have enough time. That possibly if those of us who are interested in contributing to possibly get sort of decide how we might want to proceed and then potentially have a 2 or 3 hour telecon, or maybe we can use Illuminate if that would help to look at documents and have a conversation that addresses whatever this protocol is so that we do put it in a useful framework and possibly try to do that sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't know if I'll be able to be on the call 2 weeks from today because we've got a teacher workshop that week.
Well, I can tell you, Mark and I can't be on the call 2 weeks from today either. With the Clean Pathway Review Camp is the 26th to the 28th,
that's
which
right.
is why I kind of said it. Either I'm sort of hoping next week is probably a good time to do it.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that maybe we shoot for a two-hour conference call next week and see if we can make some sense of it, or maybe even
we can. Well, what we can possibly do is we can possibly extend next week's call to 2 hours, and then if we need a second one, we could possibly set up one on Thursday or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, see whoever's been participating at that point, we can sort of try to fit everybody's schedule and try to pick another 2 hour.
Tamara, is it possible to maybe use something like Google Docs to have all of us work on one? I mean, once we figure out what the Don, do you have any sense of what the protocol is going to be? I mean, they've got line numbers on, so clearly, you can say.
I don't. How long have you been on, Frank?
I just got on a couple seconds
ago.
Okay.
Oh, you've already gone there?
A little bit, yeah. Huh. There's a protocol document for getting feedback from groups that has a set of questions that I'll share. The whole thing, I've been asked not to share the whole thing, but I think I can identify pieces of it that I can share. And I'll I think maybe putting that on a Google Doc is a good idea, though, Ken, I'm not quite sure how to invite...
Upload?
Well, I know how to upload it, but I don't know how to add the collaborators that...
I think there's, I mean, it should be a share function, and I'm wondering if you can share.
I think we've done that here before too, so I don't think that's a problem. What I could do is we could provide a link on the clean the Climate Literacy Network website to such a Google Doc if that's the way we think that would be the most effective to address this.
But I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, I completely support, Tamara, I heard you say, you know, the parts that are outside the Earth space are important, and I completely agree, especially the cross-cutting elements. But there's got to be, I'm assuming this protocol, Don, that there's going to be a way to say, you know, page 6, line 5, the text says this, recommend changing to that.
That's not actually in the protocol that I have, but it may be in, there's to be an online form for providing feedback that's to go up today or tomorrow is their goal.
Okay.
And I hope it's in there, and that would certainly make sense for it to be somewhere.
So, Frank, what we were talking about is to try to have, we could have a Google Doc also, but I think having a conversation in real time rather than asynchronous, because we just don't have a long enough time frame to integrate people's comments, is to extend next week's telecon to 2 hours and really have a deep discussion about it. And if we feel the need for a second 2-hour telecon, we could schedule one later in the week.
I completely support that. I just think, you know, using something where we're actually looking line by line and text and recommending changes to specific language as opposed to broad generalities is really a good thing.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I absolutely agree. I think that we do need to provide very directed input.
And we could just simply all be looking at the same Google document, and one person's editing it at a time. I mean, multiple people can edit the same document simultaneously. So, so we have an efficient use of our time. I agree with the extended call.
Yeah, the one of the problems with Google Docs is that you can't see what the changes are. You don't. I mean, you see what the app's changes are, but you don't see how it was changed.
And you don't see. It's not like a track changes kind of thing.
Right. Wiki. So you change it, and then we lose what was there before.
Well, you don't lose it because it's in the history.
Archive.
You can go back to
any previous version.
If you make your changes in a different font or something like that, then you can see those changes, and then you could go back and
but if you delete things, you won't see the deletes.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well,
but
could,
at the same,
you could cross out instead of delete.
Classic legislative stuff.
You know, Tamara, one other thing is that we're talking, I mean, there are not a ton of spots where we're talking about here. It's not 1,000 parts.
Right.
The word climate, if you just use it, it doesn't show up a ton of times. Now, I know there's more than that, but I think when we actually zoom in, and we're not going to be, focusing on a ton of text. And we could talk through as a group and then, assign somebody to, synthesize our discussion, and then we could all see it and then make comments on that. I don't think this is a huge amount of recommended changes.
Okay, well, I am willing to...
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, 4 matches on climate.
What?
How many?
There's more than four.
Yeah, but we need to look at things like energy and environment and other keywords, too.
Yeah. No, I'm completely supportive of that. I mean, there are other, systems. The word systems, there's a whole cross-cutting theme on systems, and that's an incredibly important piece of our work.
I was suggesting that in this week, everybody kind of go through the document and identify those sections that are relevant that are outside the Earth and space science, and we can start by compiling those in a Google Doc just so that we have a framework to start from in terms of addressing things when we actually get on the extended call.
Right. Okay. I agree with that.
So I've done a quick survey. The word energy appears 370 times, systems 252, climate 64, climate change 30 times, and then we drop down to fossil fuels 12 times, carbon dioxide 17, carbon cycle once, photosynthesis 4 times. I mean, this, in some way, this is that's just snapshots of.
Did you do environment? Because when they talk about making decisions and things like that, they use the word environment rather than climate.
Right. What, Mark, what about the word decisions? Just a...
environment 136 times.
Decision 38.
38. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, zooming in on where those words are and what the text around them, and then doing a general read to see if there's other pieces that are missing.
Right.
Very good.
And I will say there's the ocean literacy community is not very happy with how ocean literacy was represented in this document.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand so far, Scott, is that you? Do you concur?
Yeah, I just looked at it, and there's not a lot in here. So that's something I will talk to some of my colleagues about, too.
Right. Well, I know COSI and NMEA is showing up there because they're meeting, is it next week?
Yes.
So I know they've got the Ocean Literacy Council or something like that, and NMEA is going to be talking about this. And so...
I don't know. Ocean is mentioned 67 times. That's not a little.
Yeah, mentions, you know, where it mentions it is also important.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just get the supporting text, you know, the narrative text, not the actual standard text, or the, I can't remember what they call it, Don, you know, the specific...
the core ideas.
The core ideas, yeah.
Right. Lumped in there.
One thing that I'm concerned in terms of Google Docs, this is a PDF, and it's got tables and diagrams. Will we be able to edit that in Google Docs? I've never tried that before.
No.
You can convert the text to, there's a website PDF to Word or something like that where you can convert.
I think I can probably do that directly. Okay, I'll try to make it into a Word document.
I mean, I don't know about all of you, but I have very, very limited time the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I'm not going to be able to sink much energy into doing a full-blown line-by-line review of this.
Sure.
Do you have time to be part of the conference call?
Well, I don't know. I need to determine whether this is a big priority or not. I mean, I guess my initial thought was to... You know, scan the document and then look specifically at where climate change and human energy consumption and kind of the carbon cycle fit in, and sort of narrow my focus rather than trying to tackle the
right.
whole 100 and whatever pages it is.
Well, I agree. I mean, I was kind of disappointed with the extent of time and the fact that I'm over the top committed. So we are going to have to address this in a strategic way.
Yeah.
Can I make a recommendation on that?
Sure.
Yeah, so since we were talking keywords, maybe something we could do in the follow-on email right quick is, you know, kind of, you know, in the Climate Listen Network, agree on what those key terms are and then just, you know, sign up for a term. And zoom in on those sections. I don't know if that's a good way of dividing and conquering, but if we share our, you know, individual perspectives on certain words, if you have more bandwidth to, you know, look at somebody else's in detail, that's another matter. But, I mean, this is a very important document that has a very short review time, unfortunately. That's not very nice, given, you know, but here it is. So I'm just thinking maybe a strategic way of saying, you know, I'll look at systems. Tamara, you look at this. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, here, but I'm just saying maybe if a way of dividing that where these, you know, if somebody wants to look at the word environment and how it relates to these issues and so on.
Yeah, I think we're going to I think that's a good first start, but given that there's 370 energy terms and 252 systems terms and 17 CO2 terms, that we're going to have a little bit more refinement than that.
Sure.
Well, I personally feel like the area that's the most relevant to Climate Literacy Network relates to some of those key misconceptions, misperceptions that people have about the basics of the carbon cycle, the greenhouse effect. Greenhouse effect is just mentioned twice in this whole document. And, you know, photosynthesis is mentioned four times. And if there's a way that we can hone in on kind of closing the loop in people's understanding of the connection between carbon and climate and greenhouse, that would be enormous. My initial reading of this is that it's just not well addressed. And even in talking about human impacts on climate, it's still pretty fuzzy. You know, they say climate change happens for natural and human causes, and okay, that's true. But they, at least so far that I've seen, they don't make a definitive statement that human activities are impacting climate in any really robust way. Mm-hmm. I might be missing it. Again, I'm just trying to...
I know I had that in the draft that I put in. And I was the lead on the human impacts.
John, that's...
Your system, but
John, you screwed up, huh?
Well, it got changed after it left my hands. I haven't reread it since I got this yesterday.
I might be jumping to conclusions, and I know that there is one actually that did catch my attention on global climate change, which is ESS Core Idea 4, ESS 4D, and so I think there's some good information in there, but I think that might be where we need to really focus our critique.
Yeah.
Well, the only counter argument I would make to that is that we also want to focus our critique on the cross-cutting areas, like mm-hmm. systems, and other key things that just to the specific language. In that one area, because we do want to have climate literacy in the more biological sciences and the physical sciences as well as the earth sciences. It's not, and you know, and I don't, Don, any thought of connecting this to the social sciences? I mean, do the social sciences show in here?
Well,
the decisions and you know, having decisions and not social sciences is missing the boat.
Yeah, and I think I think it's not in there enough, I guess, is my answer.
Okay.
I think that's in the chunk that Carrie Snyder is in charge of. The last okay. core idea.
The last core idea, okay. Mm-hmm. What's the title of that last core idea? I'm sorry, camera.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I think you mean core discipline, not idea, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because the core ideas, there are
that's
four
right,
core
or the,
ideas
yeah,
with each
yep,
within
yep.
each discipline. So, and I think it's got engineering in the name.
Yeah, it's got engineering and technology in the name.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think that maybe possibly since we all have limited bandwidth that we, as I suggested, we spend this week individually going around picking out the core pieces that you feel are the most important, and then we can address those in the telecon next week. So, Mark, if you feel that connection is the most important, we can try to highlight that. And I'll try to get this up in Google Docs so that people can highlight the pieces and maybe sign up for the piece that they want to address or that they want to make sure gets addressed. And then to just do the best we can, it may be that we can't really get to all the pieces that we want to in the limited time frame that we have.
Tamara, could I ask a question so that we all do this in a similar way?
Sure.
I'm, for instance, on ET, which is the Engineering Technology Core Idea 4. which says, in today's modern world, everyone makes technological decisions that affect and are affected by technology on a daily basis. Consequently, it is essential for all citizens to understand the risks and responsibilities that accompany such decisions. If I were to propose that core idea as one that we should look at, do I use the PDF page number? Do I use the document page number? You know, if we could all
There are line numbers here, and I'm actually converting this to a Word document now.
But on the pages with these big core ideas and the graphics, there are no line numbers.
Yeah. Right.
So we really need to agree on which page number we're using so that we all can get to and find.
PDF page numbers, starting at the climate is 147, and going on from there.
But, I mean, why don't we just, to be safe, I appreciate what you're saying, that the PDF has a page number in it, and then you look at the PDF page, and that's a different number. I would say we should use both, so there's absolutely no ambiguity.
Right.
Use the number like 7-35 plus the PDF number?
The PDF page, the document page number, and then the if there's no line number, then you just have to say somewhere in this thing.
Yeah. I think it's good.
At least they've got it. They know it's on that page.
Yeah, I mean, right. On the,
so, yeah,
on
so
the
it's basically it's a redundancy of designation.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
The page 147, and then in parentheses, 7-37.
Yes.
Yeah, as the person receiving comments on the climate literacy document, I'm very sensitive to this issue because people gave me all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
And had a hard time finding where they were talking about.
And if we change it to a Word document, we're going to be in even deeper trouble. So.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm actually doing that now. It's, I'm up to page 29.
I think for the Word document, we won't worry about the page numbers there because you can always do the
file text
and figure out where it is in the PDF.
Right.
So, all right. Well, I'm not sure how this. I'm converting it now. It actually goes very slowly. It's up to page 32.
Good. You can take the rest of the day off.
There you go.
I can't even scan through the document while I was doing this.
are we sending these directly to you, Tamara, or to the whole listserv?
No, what we're going to do is I'm going to try to put this on Google Docs. I will put on, and maybe Scott, you can help me. We will start we'll have it, the link to the Google Docs, and we will put that on the Climate Literacy Network website, and we'll possibly start a discussion thread there also in case, I think that we should make our comments within the Google Docs, but if there's any discussion, we'll start a thread there to facilitate that conversation. But if you send these things by email, they'll get lost. I just won't be able to handle it. I'm as oversubscribed as Mark indicated he is.
Okay. So we're going to use the PDF page number and then in parentheses the page number at the bottom of each page.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Correct? Okay, good.
Why don't whoever has the, you know, just at the top of the Google document, just write a code that explain what the pieces of the code are. So, you know, it'd be PDF, then Word document or document num page, and then line if available.
Right.
Just
yeah, I will. Once I see how this Word document actually turns out, I'll do as Frank suggested, saying, given what's there, this is what you need to refer to.
Right. I mean, the main reason the Google Docs is there is just so that we can visually divide and conquer and go, oh, I was going to look at that, but somebody's already put comments there. I'll go somewhere else before we start looking at each other's comments.
Yeah.
Just so we have a good read on the damn thing.
Right.
Okay, and then somehow we're going to have to get a handle on how best to actually provide the information once we've made all of our comments, and I'm a little concerned about having the time to do that, too. So we'll have to work on that.
Well, Tamara, if I could suggest, I was just thinking about the exact issue, is that we don't want the comments embedded in the Word document the Google document. We want them probably all the way at the bottom of it, in a reference table, on an extra page. so that
is it easy to do just two Google documents, one that's comments and one that's the document itself? Or is that not something that's easy to do?
I think they need to be side by side, don't they, to be useful?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can open them up separately. Open them up in two different windows.
Looking at the protocol document that I have, it has a report sheet at the end for organize the group report in the following order to question number one,
right.
Question number two, yada, yada, yada. So you'll want to be attentive to that. And I'll post those questions to the list.
Send it to the list, and then we'll try to get that. Scott, are you still on?
Yeah, I am indeed.
Okay, can you help me get this page up so that it's useful in the Climate Literacy Network site? Okay.
Absolutely.
Based on the reporting sheet that Don is going to give us, so that we just start collating our comments in the reporting sheet, and then we can just edit them there, so that it's easy to transfer over to NRC.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm on the street, guys.
That's all right. Okay, we're up to page 69 now. Okay, I think we at least have a plan for the moment. Are there any other concerns or comments? I will send out an email that we are planning to have a two-hour call next week to address these frameworks and invite everybody else when, and say that we'll eventually have things up for people to look at. I think I put the link on the teleconference page now to look at this document, so we have that already up.
Tamara, I just have one announcement for you guys. The environmental literacy grant that's focused on formal ed, it looks like it's probably going to come out tomorrow, maybe a couple more days, but it's imminent.
So
we need more grant work, and, you know, it seems like most people are well-funded right now, but just so you know.
Yep.
And well-overloaded.
Yeah, exactly. We're all toasty. Is anybody on the call not over 100%?
Also, we had heard that the CSET proposals, the panels are going to be on the 15th and 16th this week. So, and then they're going to do virtual site visits with the top 10 to 15 proposals. So,
great. Well, that's another thing
to worry about. Yeah.
That's why Jill Carson's not answering my phone calls. She's going to be going to panel.
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay, well, thanks a lot, everybody.
Tamara?
Yeah?
Tamara?
I wanted to thank Don for the work you did to help move it forward here. And
yes.
As I look through, I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. And
yeah, I think there is.
I think it's a big step
in the right direction. I'm cautiously optimistic that it'll actually make a difference.
Well, thank you very much.
I just wanted to add one thing.
Yes.
This is Lynn.
Yes.
I wanted to let people know that I'm moving to Boulder, that I'll be working with Diane Knight on on climate change education and the LTER program, long-term environmental research. And so I'd love to get together with the Boulder people, you know, any Boulder people when I get there, which will be in about 2 weeks.
I'm going to be there twice, the last week of July and the first week of August.
Oh, well, that's great. Okay, maybe we can get together. That would be great.
Okay. Your cell phone going to be the same?
Yes, my cell phone will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
When do you go?
I'm going to be going out probably next week.
Oh.
I'll be definitely there by the really late July, the 1st of August for sure. So it'd be nice to maybe the climate literacy people in Boulder, we can have a get together. That would be nice.
We're having our clean review camp the last week of July.
Oh, uh-huh.
We can get together then.
That would be great.
We have to have dinner sometime, right?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Oh, so we'll keep in touch. That's great.
All right. Very good.
Excellent.
Hey,
thanks
a lot,
you.
Everybody.
Hey,
bye.
We're going to be on, on Ted and Bora in a couple hours, right?
Yes, and I will. I do want to also talk to you, and I don't know if Anna's available for an agenda for tomorrow. However, at this point, I need to drive. We're having our floors of our house sanded, and this afternoon I have to be at home, so I was going to leave now so I could be home and be on that call. So are you going to be around later so when I get home I could give you a call, we could talk about this agenda for tomorrow?
I don't think that Anna will be, though.
That's okay. I think the agenda is pretty straightforward. I just wanted to bounce it off you and Anna, if she's available. So I'll give you a call when I get home, and then we'll definitely be on the call at 4. And Frank is also going to be on that call. I don't know if Frank is still on now, but he said that he'd call in also.
Okay, good.
Okay?
All right, talk to you soon.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye now.